This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the hockey season. It's October. We are talking hockey. It's finally started. We, of course, had two games in Czechia. But we're here back to talk hockey all year long, and I'm so excited. We have Trey Rod to my left. We have LP, Lydia Perner, producing and hopping on the mic to represent the New York Rangers right across from me. We're in Studio 2 today, guys. A little bit of change of scenery, but we're going to have a good show nonetheless. So, five games in total have been played. Two of them by the New Jersey Devils, where they swept the Buffalo Sabres in Czechia. If you guys don't know about Czechia, you got to check it out. It's this country. It's in Central Europe. I've actually never been. But it borders, Austria, Germany, Poland. It's like right around that area. A lot of good hockey players come from there. Anyway, two games there. The Buffalo Sabres totally embarrassed. Some notes out of it, and we'll get into the Devils, but their PK went 6-for-6, which was very nice, and their young guys shined. Anyway, five games of hockey. Blues beat the Kraken. Panthers beat the Bruins. And Utah got their first win. Guys, how are we feeling five games into the season?
I mean, I think it was really nice to see Utah get their win, especially after we know the Coyotes are like how, you know, they kind of like never win at all. So it was nice to see Utah start off their franchise with a win. Especially a very dominant one against a franchise like the Blackhawks, obviously one of the better franchises in the league. So it's really nice. It's really nice to see Utah come out with a win on that. I thought the other games, Panthers beating the Bruins like that, scoring four goals in the first.
Junas Korpisalo was playing. I wasn't really shocked.
Like I think it's to be expected. And the Blues had a nice little The Blues had a nice little comeback over to Kraken, because I think I was looking at one point. Kraken were up by like 2-0, and then the Blues just stormed back and got the W. So it was, I'd like to say it was a pretty expected day of outcomes.
LP, Philip Grubauer or Joey Decord?
Ooh, that's a good question. Decord and the shutout in the Winter Classic last year will never be forgotten as a first game.
Look, as much as I loved that shutout, watching it, I thought it was great, and obviously beating Vegas, I will always love. The ice was really slow.
Everything was terrible.
The ice was really slow that day, and that helps the Kraken's play style so much compared to the Golden Knights. Not to take anything away from him, he played great, but I like Joey Decord.
Yeah, to answer the question, I'm going Decord too.
Yeah, Grubauer kind of sucked.
He's just washed.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you doing? Five games into the season.
I'm pretty good. My team hasn't started yet, so
no,
I haven't.
Start tonight.
Yeah, I was gonna say my mood hasn't been able to be dictated by a hockey team yet, but for the next 6 months it will be, and we'll see how it goes. Rangers play the Penguins tonight. It's exciting stuff. Islanders open up versus Utah tomorrow.
Yeah,
right.
Grace McCarron will be there.
Yeah. So and yeah, I got a good night of games tonight. Bunch of Canadian rivals playing against each other, and we got Vegas, Colorado too. So should be another good night of hockey.
Speaking of those Rangers, did you know it's the 300th game ever between the
Rangers
and the Penguins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It'll be in Pittsburgh tonight. When you think about 300 games between these two teams, where do you rank the Rangers-Penguins rivalry compared to other Metropolitan Division rivalries?
That's a good question. So I'd say, if you asked me this question in 2022, it would be a completely different answer because the Penguins just haven't been good. Last season was a wash.
What's the state of it now, would you say?
I think as long as Crosby's on the team, there will be a rivalry between the two. I think that the Penguins fans dislike us more than we dislike them because of that series.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in the playoffs, we kind of have the Penguins' number, it seems. Although we don't usually do anything with moving on in those rounds. But I don't know. I would say Islanders and Devils definitely up there. But maybe you could put them in the three in terms of Metro rivalry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Trey, speaking of Sid, he always puts up a 90-plus point season. It seems like every year. He will not age, it seems like. when you look at this Penguins-Rangers matchup here, I think he's pretty comparable right now to maybe having a season akin to Mika Zibanejad in terms of points, at least. Not saying play style-wise. I would say Sid's a more complete player. Zibanejad might be a better goal scorer than Sid is right now, but that's just might be a function of age. Between Zibanejad and Crosby, first of all, who's putting up more points this year? And second, what do you expect out of this game between the Rangers and the Penguins?
I think Crosby putting up more points this year. I mean, if you look back at last season, I mean, Crosby had 94 points and Mika had 72.
Right.
So I don't think that there's going to be that's just so much, that's such a big point difference. I don't really think that there's going to be a catch up by Mika here to Crosby. I do think Crosby's probably going to slow down a little bit. I mean, it's his 20th season.
You got to think about the fact that Malkin is healthy this year, though, and that might seriously help him. I don't know. What do you think, LP?
Maybe on the power play, but Crosby's line mates are Drew O'Connor and Islanders legend Anthony Beauvillier. I'm not sure that those two guys are going to help him reach that point.
It's Sidney Crosby, though.
It is Sidney Crosby, nonetheless. He is older, but you can still rely on him for a solid season. But when you're comparing him to Mika Zibanejad, he's going to score more points than Zibanejad. That's decided.
Yeah,
well, I agree. Let's do a little Rangers housekeeping real quick, because there are a couple things of note. First is Ryan Lindgren, who's on the IR after duking it out with Scott Mayfield in the Rangers' second preseason game. They're calling it an upper body injury, and it kept him out of the rest of training camp. He got rocked.
He might have broke his jaw.
Tough. Big Scotty Mayfield, undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, getting injured from a fight like that is not probably one of the worst looks you can have. I think, you know, I mean, I don't know. He's probably going to miss the first few games of the season, I'm assuming, Lindgren. And it definitely hurts the Rangers' defense a little bit, especially that he just signed a new contract with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sucks that he's not able to have that impact right away for the first few games. But because it happened so long ago, I mean, you know, not so long ago, but it happened a little while ago now, early in the preseason, he should be able to get back soon. I don't think he's going to have that big of an impact on his season. Might miss a few games, but he should come back, be pretty healthy, make an instant impact right away.
He did skate this morning in a non-contact jersey with a full cage.
Right.
So that's where the I think he broke his jaw against an AHL player who happens to be on the Islanders roster of Scott Mayfield.
AHL?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I went there.
He's been to the playoffs multiple times and has underperformed multiple times.
I was going to say, and made costly turnovers to my liking.
That
so
is,
you know what? Keep him on the roster.
Still,
keep him on the roster.
That is still playoff experience. Yeah. Well, there's someone on the Rangers who's not in the lineup tonight.
Matt Rumpy.
It's interesting. We'll talk about that in a bit. But secondly, Jimmy Vesey's on LTIR. He was placed on LTIR on Monday via Arthur Staple. And they're calling it lower body. It's going to keep him out of the lineup for at least the first 10 games of the season. This is not good for Jimmy Vesey, who it seems like can't put up a 25-point season to save his life recently. I don't know. I get that a lot of his play is forechecking and that he's a good defensive forward, but I know what's your take on Jimmy VCLP?
So the beginning of that statement I completely agreed with. Like last year when I was watching him, I couldn't stand him. I didn't think he was that good of a player. I thought there were better options for the fourth line, and sometimes he got third line minutes last year. But when he went down in the playoffs, I think it was Ryan Lomberg hit him up high in the Panthers in game two of the Panthers series.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so the Rangers were never the same team on the PK without him, and just that fourth line was incomplete without him. So I do think it's a lot bigger loss than it should be, especially losing Barkley Goodrow. I know that we needed to ship him off $3.6 million, but Carrick is the guy now, and I do think VC would have been the best player on that line.
Maybe.
But that opens up a spot for someone on the PK to step in, and that opens up a spot for Adam Enstrom to jump on the team and make the roster for the opening game today.
Well, for that opening game today, let's go through what the morning skate lineup was. It was Kreider, Zibanejad, Smith, Panarin, Trocheck, Lauf, Cooley, Hedl, Kako, and then Edstrom, Carrick, Broads. And then on the defensive side, your first pairing was Miller and Fox, Schneider, Trouba, and Jones and Mancini. And Rempe is a healthy So healthy, Scratch. What do you make of that? What's our take of that, Trey?
I mean,
I think Matt Rampe's the first Scratch in the first game of the season. Sounds like a liability skating-wise on the ice to me.
It's like a baby giraffe out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like every clip you see him going really fast, he always ends up falling.
And that's why you need Jimmy VC, too. Because, like, Jimmy VC, like, counteracted all of the liability that Matt Rempe was on the ice.
I love watching Rempe play. He's always fun to watch. Like, especially because he moves so fast and he's just such a big guy. You know, whenever he's on the ice, there's, like, a potential for something really big is going to happen. And
the fans get juiced up.
Exactly.
They love it.
They love it. I mean, you know, you're not in Madison Square Garden tonight. So it's not going to matter as much in that aspect, but like it, I want to see the kid play, especially I feel like even the very few minutes he got in the playoffs, he did stuff with them sometimes. So I thought
he scored the Rangers first playoff.
Yeah.
Goal.
So he got playoff minutes. I'm kind of surprised he didn't make this starting, like, opening night roster.
Yeah.
So, I really hope he finds his way back in. I know he's going to find his way back in, but I don't know why he's not on it right now, but I mean, I don't know what the reason would be, but I hope he comes back way sooner than later.
Well, Rangers will be looking to, I don't know, do you want to win the President's Trophy again?
No.
All right, well, the Rangers will be looking to have a very good season starting tonight at 7 o'clock. In
7:30
in Pittsburgh. A team whose season's already started and is going incredibly well are the New Jersey Devils. They started in Czechia. I don't know why I keep talking about Czechia. It's beautiful, though. 4-1 win to open the season, and then they followed that up with a 3-1 win. The Buffalo Sabres are have been eliminated from playoff contention. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
But Seamus Casey scored his first NHL goal. And beyond that, let's start with Seamus Casey, because I was impressed by the goal, but the way that he can quarterback that power play is so impressive. And he is a short king who is so good at hockey. And I'm really excited to see what he has.
I mean, yeah, I thought it was impressive how, obviously, second NHL game, and you're able to come out there. Because of an injury, you get put on a second power play unit, and then you take that opportunity right away.
Yeah.
As such a young player, I mean, that's just a really good sign for the future. It shows that he's not afraid to take that opportunity and really make the most of it. So, there's a lot of good signs there just from that one game. Now, obviously, we only have a 2-game sample size, so you can't make any inferences yet out of that. But the fact that he was able to make such an opportunity out of that, especially as a defenseman getting a goal like that on a power play, it shows really good signs for him at such a young age.
Well, Seamus Casey was very good at Michigan. I can't remember if he was on a pairing with Luke Hughes for the 2 years that Hughes was there, but those two are both offensive style defensemen. So yeah, I'm not surprised that he's a good skater, that he was able to jump in and just quarterback a power play and fit in out there. I mean, it is nice to be able to play your first 2 games against the Buffalo Sabres. No offense to the Sabres, but
you know they're going to find a way to make it interesting at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, they're going to go on a crazy run and miss the playoffs
by two points
or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Or Lindy Ruff maybe will skate them into the ground. Who knows? But I like I've liked Casey as a player for a while since he was in college. I'm a little upset he's on the Devils because I feel like I can't like him anymore. But yeah, I'm happy for him that he got that first goal and he looks good out there.
Well, in the Czech Republic, which is a Central European country that hosted the World Championship in May, actually, and they won gold in that, if you'll remember, just 5 months ago. That was not that long ago. And now they had the first NHL games there in that country. Jack Hughes got 2 assists during the series. And the Devils' PK went 6-for-6. The forwards, it looks like a different PK under Sheldon Keefe when I was watching it. To me, it looked a lot more aggressive. It looked like a forechecking PK, which I thought was really cool. And I think Sheldon Keefe is doing really nice things with this Devils' PK.
I mean, yeah, it's really nice to see too, especially because we saw how the Devils last year struggled so much defensively, and now when you bring it onto the penalty kill, it's gonna be even harder to stop that. But I think it's really nice to see how the Devils' defense and also basically their new goalie tandem with Markstrom and Jake Allen.
Yep.
It's nice to see them mesh that well together. And now, obviously, you're going against the Sabres, and so it's not the best. It's not the biggest telling sign ever.
Just can we be careful before we embarrass ourselves two games into the season, and then the Sabres make the playoffs for the first time in 13 years?
They will.
Because no, I'll let you in on a little hint. At the end of the year, we go through our bad takes and we cut them, and then we'll play them at the end of the year. So. Be careful on these Sabres takes, because that would be an ultimate L. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, listen, I don't think the Sabres are like a bottom five team or anything, but I do think the Devils have a lot more talent than the Sabres
do. Yes, they do.
So that's why I'm saying it like that. Okay. So, but it's really nice to see how basically how new coach just steps in and is able to really just first six times on the penalty kill, and able to stop all six of them with Markstrom and net and Allen as well. It's really. It's a good sign for things to come, and it shows that a lot of work was done during that training camp and preseason.
Yeah. Being a Buffalo fan sucks. I think we can kind of agree, especially because so early on they got injuries to J.J. Paterka, who got that concussion after getting hit by Brendan Dillon in the first game. Nicholas Abe-Kubel and Zach Benson, all three of them, they're hurt to start the year. So brutal in Buffalo. Good news for Jersey. It's always brutal in Buffalo. A place where I think the vibes are pretty high right now, and people are saying this is the best roster we've had in years, is on the island, where some interesting things have happened roster-wise in the last couple days. Most notably, Pierre Engvall, who just over a year ago, I think it might have been 15 months ago, maybe 14 months ago, Lou Lamoriello ingeniously signed to an 8-year contract. He's getting $3 million a year. This raised some eyebrows, but this all happened in the wave of Varley and Sorokin also getting their contracts, as well as this happened after Bo Horvat. Everyone was feeling really good. Noah Dobson, he was just starting to break out. Everyone was feeling really good. They sort of overlooked the fact that, why did we give a guy who had a couple good games at the end of the year an 8-year contract?
I mean,
no one really thought about it.
Like, I mean, it's just such a weird contract in the first place. Eight years for $3 million. Like,
he wasn't that good on Toronto anyway.
That's like unheard of.
But he had a good end of the year with us. When we got him at the deadline, and then we just signed him. And now he's on the AHL roster to start the year. And it's looking like he's probably never coming back, and they're going to buy him out, in my opinion.
I think I heard that they maybe want to try to get some kind of trade from him, so we don't have to worry about that awful contract, but good luck getting that.
And I think they would value, because you're paying him $3 million a year. If you buy him out, you only got to pay him $1 million a year for the next 10 years. Hmm. You're saving an extra $2 million on the books per year. That's big, especially if you're dedicating that to a championship caliber team. That said, yes, Pierre Engvall, he sucks. What a blunder. Maxim Soplakov has been so good since training camp, and he earned a spot on the roster. For some reason, Oliver Wahlstrom has a spot on the roster, and Julien Gauthier has a spot on the roster. LP, what do you make of this roster construction? Have you gotten a chance to take a look at it?
So top line, one of the best in the NHL.
Super good.
Very
the Duke.
Good. Very good. That Duclair ad, I didn't think he was going to be able to bring the next level out of Barzal and Horvat, but
it fits so perfectly.
That line is, as much as I hate to say it, very good. Second line, yeah, also looking good. Kyle Palmieri always shows up against the Rangers, so no complaints.
He's so solid.
He's just a good player. Nelson, sick wrist shot.
Yeah.
Can be streaky with his play, but the Soplakov compliment there. I like that line. Third line, yeah, that's looking like a problem too. I can't believe Anders Lee is on the third line though. That's kind of crazy to me.
What about that's crazy?
Just that your captain's on the third line, but he's not. He is.
Watching him play hockey.
Yeah, the name is, he's so overrated. Like, I hear Anders Lee and I'm like, oh, that's definitely like the Islanders.
Well,
first line guy, leading scorer. No, he's not a good
Anyone who's been watching him for the last 3 years has kind of realized that his best days are behind him. And now he's valued for his leadership qualities. I don't see the captaincy getting stripped from him. I see him riding out the rest of his contract, and then
he's a good captain too.
He's a great captain.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Leadership guy, winning
smile.
Yeah,
locker room guy.
Great locker room guy. And he's such a sweetheart. Like he always answers questions with buoyancy and doesn't shrug you off, and I value that, and I think the Islanders value that in a leader.
He's a big name on Long Island. I mean, I'm from Long Island. You hear Anders Lee a lot when you bring up the Islanders.
Of course,
so
he's loved. He's beloved.
I don't know, but I think on paper the Islanders to me look like a good team.
Kyle McLean as that fourth line center, I think will be sneaky great this year.
You think so? What about Cizikas and Wahlstrom? I feel like those are controversial names.
Ollie Wahlstrom gives me trouble. But there's a reason why Pierre Engvall's in the AHL and Wahlstrom. It's not like Wahlstrom dazzled everyone in the training camp. It's because Pierre Engvall isn't a fourth line winger. He doesn't fit there.
I don't think Wahlstrom's a bad player, though. I just think he was a first round, 10th? 11th overall.
Yeah, and his size is much more viable on the fourth line. You're not going to have Pierre Engvall playing fourth line minutes. It's just not going to happen. So as far as his future is concerned, he was waived. Hudson Fashing was waived. Sam Bolduc was waived. Grant Hutton was waived. They're all reporting to Bridgeport. It's looking like a buyout would happen. The only reason he would come up this year is if you need to utilize long-term injured reserve, or if you get rid of $900,000 in cap space. So he's going to be in the AHL for a while. Don't expect Engvall up anytime soon. Any other thing Islanders wise you guys want to bring up? The fact that Varlamov starting tonight is interesting over Sorokin. What do you make of that, Trey?
I mean, We saw how good Varlamov did during the stretch of the season last year. And he showed up. I love Varlamov. I think he's a great goalie. He's getting older now, but I mean, him and Sorokin together, that's just one of the best goalie tandems in the league. I think it is the best goalie tandem in the
Wrong.
League.
It's incorrect. It certainly rivals Shesterkin Quick.
I think it is. It's a fantastic. I know Sorokin had a iffy season last year, but I totally expect him to bounce back. Yep. Once he gets back from his little injury problems he's been having and stuff, I expect him to go back to prior form. We saw how much of a dog he is. He's really, really good. But I think it makes sense right now to have Varlamov start off, ended the season very strong. Let's have him start off the season, see what he can do from there. Yeah. But give Sorokin, if he has any more problems injury-wise right now, just give him a bit more time to rest. But I'm a fan of the move. Varlamov can totally hold down the net.
Yeah. LP, There's a reason why everyone says, oh, the Islanders always exceed expectations. Why are they always making the playoffs? They're, like, on paper, not excellent compared to all the other playoff teams going into the year. And it's because the goaltending tandem is so good that they end up stealing wins that they shouldn't necessarily, where they didn't necessarily outplay their opponent. So, yeah, maybe talent-wise, sure, maybe Shesterkin and Quick might jump off the page a little bit more. There's a guy who, we didn't even really talk about this, did we? Let's talk about this now. Igor Shesterkin, breaking news, Igor Shesterkin does not want to be a New York Ranger.
I'm going to start crying in the studio.
Igor Shesterkin hates the Rangers organization and everything it stands for. He wants 13 or he's walking. No, he does not want 13.
He's not getting 13.
He's not going to ask for 13.
12.5. That's what it's going to
be. I don't think he's getting 12.5. Not from the Rangers.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Jeremy Swayman just signed an 8-year, $66 million contract. And let me do some quick math here. Yeah, that's about 8.25 a year. Okay. Igor turned down 11. Now, Igor's better than Swayman.
Yes.
I don't think you can argue that. That said, did Linus Ullmark also not just sign a contract?
He just got extended today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A 4-year, $33 million contract. And quick maths, it's the same as Swayman's. Is he that much better than Ullmark and Swayman? Like, is he... That's like a 25% bump in pay compared to Ullmark and Swayman.
I really don't think he's that much better than Ullmark and Swayman, but I think with his reputation in New York and around the NHL, that's his leverage right there. And also, he has every right to be like, you guys haven't built a team around me. I stand on my head every night in the playoffs, too. I deserve that $12.5 million number. But to me, if he really wants cares about winning, you're not going to take 14% of your team's salary cap. You're going to care a little bit more about the players around you. That's what Crosby's done his whole career, taking that 8.7 number, even though he realistically should be one of the highest paid players in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to give a goalie that type of money.
I know, and then he's going to be a Los Angeles King next year, and that's
Igor.
So
or Crosby.
Igor.
That's so crazy, Nick.
What are you talking about? They got like $10 million in cap space.
That's not $12 million.
You're not gonna. Well, yeah, but they're gonna have players retiring. Like Drew Doughty, I think comes off the books.
You
next.
Think Igor wants to move to LA?
Where else? Like
to New
in
York
comparison
City.
To anywhere else in the country?
I think he could go up to like Winnipeg or something.
Why? Why would he want to go to Winnipeg? What? Because he's from like east. He's from like the eastern parts of Russia. Well, he's not from eastern Russia, but he's from like the eastern parts of western Russia. Anyway. I watched like a 2-hour interview in Russian from Igor with captions on. It was very interesting.
Committed Rangers fan, I see, Nick.
No, yes. I actually in the interview he said that he didn't deserve to be an All-Star last year and that Quick should have been an All-Star instead.
That is true.
Which I completely agree with. Let's get back on the topic at hand, which is actually we're going to have some fun. Should we have some fun?
Sure.
All right. It's not as fun as, say, planning a trip to Czechia, which formerly was in union with the country of Slovakia for many, many years in the 20th century. They formed a country called Czechoslovakia. It's not that fun.
Got a historian.
But I'm a history major.
I'm a history major, too.
I'm a finance major.
No one asked you. Do you want to do a little fantasy draft?
Yeah.
Just like a quick little fantasy draft. Six players. You get six players.
Right.
I don't want to go first because that would be rude of me as the host, the A host of the show. So you guys are going to rock, paper, scissors. And whichever.
You can go first.
Do you want first?
I'll go first, I guess.
All right. So here's how it's going to work. No repeatsies. That's rule number one. Rule number two is it's going to go in a snake order draft.
Okay.
So your pick number one,
two, three, four, five, six, so on.
Now I see why you didn't want to go first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be totally go first if that's would you rather I go second?
Yeah, I'll take third.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, of course. See, that's what a generous host does. All right. Would you like to take the first overall pick?
Well, McDavid, obviously.
All right, Connor McDavid for Trey. So, by the way, you got to fill out each position on the ice. That's why you get six players.
Okay.
Pretty clear there. So just keep track of your own team.
Okay.
All right. For the second pick of the draft, I think it's pretty clear who is number two. Would anyone like to?
Want me to pick for you?
It's Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon is very clearly number two. We have two centers already gone. LP, take number three and four.
All right. So since the centers are gone, and I already know who my center is, and you guys are going to laugh when I pick it, but I'll go Kucherov. I'll get the right wing out of there.
Okay.
And then for my fourth, or I guess the fourth pick, I'm going to take a D. But
okay.
I think I'm going to go Makar. That was a tough pick.
Kale Makar. That's a good pick.
I was debating him or Hughes.
Why did you go Makar over Hughes?
Because I think Kale Makar is the better player, and he did miss five games last year. And I also think with the Avs coming back, injury-wise, players coming back, I think that he could make an even bigger impact this season with the power play and just 5-on-5 play. I think he's a solid He's a solid pick.
All right, I'll follow you on the right wing train. Now, I was very close to sticking with the Avalanche theme and going for Mikko Rantanen. That said, I'm going to break and take Pasta instead as my right winger. So you can go ahead, Trey. You got the next two picks, I believe.
All right. I was happy you didn't pick Mikko. I was literally about to pick him, so I'm going to take Mikko.
Okay.
For my next pick, though. You know, I guess we'll go...
Yeah, you've got two in a row.
We'll go on defense, too. Yeah, well, I think we'll pick up Hughes.
Okay. All right. So that's a Hughes pick. So that means I get to go next. Am I going to finish off my forwards? Or... Yeah. See, there's really... I'm looking at the left wing options here. And there's really just one that stands out above the other, LP. And it's Artemi Panarin. So he's going to be my left winger. And I'm going to steal him from you.
He doesn't. He has a head of hair this year, though. Do you still think he's going to be?
I
no
don't,
bald Panarin.
That's a fair point.
I'm kidding.
He's screwed. Go ahead, LP. You got two picks.
All right. I'm gonna finish off my D here. But this is a tough one for me. Again, as the homer in me wants to go with Fox, but should I do it or should I go? You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Adam Fox.
Okay.
I'm going to take him as my other, him and Makar.
Fox and Makar is
deadly.
Got a good
one American, one Canadian there.
There you go.
And then I have another pick, right?
Yeah.
Alrighty. No, I gotta save my center pick for last. All right, let's see. I need a left winger. I don't really.
Do you want me to spit out some options?
Yeah, I'm looking here. I don't
really
want Kaprizov.
You don't want Kaprizov.
Not too much, but I also don't think Bratt's the guy.
What about Brady Tkachuk? What about Jason Robo? Those are
Robertson's ice cold in like the playoffs in terms of like no production.
That's true. What about Jake Guentzel?
Yeah, you know what? I like that pick. Guentzel. I'm gonna go Guentzel because he's down in Tampa. I think he was moved around quite a bit and injured last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that pick. I'll take Jake Guentzel.
I think that's a
thank
nifty
you. Thank
pick.
You for your help, Nick.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Has anybody picked Drysdale yet?
No, but it's not your pick.
Oh.
But I've also filled out my forward core. So I've two defensemen and a goaltender. Puts me in an interesting position, cause with the way that Igor's been this plays into current events. With the way that Igor's been acting, he's saying by turning down $11 million that he's the best goaltender in the game.
Which I think he is.
He's better than Connor Hellebuck?
I think so. Yeah.
Not in the regular season last year, but I would say playoffs overall. Yes.
Totally.
Okay.
But also, Igor's completely in his head.
He's better than Yusei Saros?
Yeah.
Okay. That said, I'm going to leave the goaltender off of the table, and I'm going to take Roman Josi as a defenseman. Because I need good defensemen. All right, go ahead, Trey. Take last two players.
I'm going to put...
your last? No, you have three more. Yeah take two.
Yep. Put Draisaitl at the left wing.
That's... can you do that?
Yeah, he's a center.
He's a center. You can't do that.
But he's also listed as a left winger.
Meh.
No, because that's assuming that he would be on the McDavo line, which he's not going to be.
That's like maybe on the power play.
It's fantasy, though.
We're filling out positions, though. It's got to be their primary position. The council has rejected Leon Draisaitl as a left winger.
All right. I guess I'll pick. I guess I'll pick Tkachuk then.
All right. Yeah, Brady Tkachuk. It's not bad.
I feel like the left wingers just aren't that good in this league.
They're really not.
Yeah.
And then what do I want to do? Do I want to do defense or goalie for my last one?
I do like Philip Forsberg, though.
Yeah, but he's again, he's an up-and-down player.
Clayton Keller?
Keller's going to be electric this year in Utah.
I know. Oh, Svech, too.
You know what? I'm actually going to go for goalie here. I'm going to say Shesterkin.
Fine. Massive overpay when it happens. All right, my turn. Do I pick another defenseman or do I go for the goaltender? Are we going to leave LP with the... Yeah, we're going to leave LP. I'm going to take Hellebuck as my goaltender.
See, I think that's risky. Because I think the Winnipeg got a lot worse this year.
Yeah, but if we're taking these guys isolated in terms of, like, that doesn't...
Of talent.
That means, okay, Winnipeg's worse. Hellebuck's going to be getting more action.
Yeah.
Hellebuck's going to be making more saves.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know.
Shots on goal.
Shots
too.
On goal.
That's how the goalie
is going
to
go crazy.
Yeah.
His save percentage is going to be crazy.
That's a
this
fair
year.
Point, then. That's a fair point.
All right, go ahead, LP. Take your last player.
I got two more.
What?
I got a center and I got a goalie.
Oh, I forgot about your center.
All right, so
your center?
Because I'm going to be nice. Because we didn't let Trey take Draisaitl. I won't either. This pick is going to make some heads turn, but I have to. I have to stay loyal.
Okay.
My center, I'm taking Vincent Trocheck. And hold on. There's logic to this. Hold on. Wait. Can I tell a quick story?
Sure. Is the story about how he's going to score 22 goals?
Trocheck has been mine and my dad's like fantasy guy since he was on the Panthers. We have a motto in our family. It's called play Trocheck, print money. I'm playing Trocheck, and I'm printing money. I'm taking Vincent Trocheck. He doesn't get the points that Draisaitl does. I know. I'm aware of that. But you know what? In fantasy hockey, shots on goal matters. These are stats that matter. Trocheck will put the puck on net. Therefore, I am taking Vincent Trocheck. I am staying loyal to my guy. And then as a goalie, I'm taking Bobrovsky.
Let's list centers who you passed over.
Let's not.
For Vincent Trocheck.
As we talked about freezing cold takes
Leon
Draisaitl. At the beginning of the show.
Nope. Who's Austin Matthews? I don't want him.
I just realized Austin Matthews didn't get picked.
No, nope.
Austin Matthews is not touching 50 goals this year.
Jack Hughes is pretty useless. JT Miller,
Sidney Crosby.
Nope.
JT Miller was I think JT Miller was a one hit wonder.
Braden Point, nope. Elias Pettersson, nope. Connor Bedard, not to your fancy, nope. Vince Trocheck. Sebastian Aho, don't want him. I mean the list could go on. Sasha Barkov just like won a Stanley Cup for his excellent
Trocheck finished 30th in points last year. Don't disrespect my king, Vinny.
Finished 30th in points?
Yeah.
What of 32 centers?
No, of everyone in the league. Of everyone in the league.
I know, I'm just
Put
kidding.
Some respect on his name.
Anyway, alright, I'm done laughing. Trocheck is your center. Alright, my last pick. I have to pick a defenseman. It's a little tough. It does. I think that the defenseman pool is a little thin. That said, I'm gonna take Evan Bouchard.
Oh my god, I was gonna pick him.
He was really good in the first round of the playoffs against the LA Kings, where he just ruined.
He was good
season.
All playoffs until
he dropped
the
off
finals.
A little bit till the end. Yeah. All right. So who's the last pick of the draft, Trey?
Has anybody picked Dalen yet?
Who?
Dalen. Or Dahlin, sorry.
Oh, Rasmus Dahlin? No. Oh, no, yeah. No one has. No.
Yeah, I'm picking him.
Okay. All right, Rasmus Dahlin. That's not a bad last pick. All right, so to go over the teams before we head out here on 5-on-3, Trey Rod's team, you got McDavo in the center.
Yep.
With Mikko Rantanen and Brady Tkachuk on the left wing. Then you've got Hughes and Dahlin with Igor and Nett. It's a pretty solid team. My team is absolutely untouchable. You've got Nate MacKinnon at the center, winged by Pastrnak and Panarin, Roman Josi and Evan Bouchard. That's just goals from the blue line. And Connor Hellebuck backing it up. And LP has Kucher on the right wing. You've got Jay Gensel on the left, centered by
Vincent Trocheck.
It's an 82-0 team.
Centered by Vincent Trocheck. And defended by Cale Makar and Anna Fox. Who is your goaltender? I didn't write it down.
Bobrovsky. Can you just one more time re-say my forward lines and just have a little more emphasis on the center with a little more pep in your step, you know?
What's the name of your team?
I don't got one yet. But
well, if you had, what would it be?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. At right wing. Nikita Kucherov at the left wing. Jake Gensel starting in net. Sergei Bobrovsky on the blue line. Kale McCarr and Adam Fox. And your heart winner, Vince Trocheck. We could have gotten Austin Matthews. We could have gotten Leon Draisaitl. But we said no. Because we wanted 25 goals consistently.
You're lucky I didn't put Will Cooley on my team.
All right, that's all we have time for on this episode of 5 on 3. Thank you to Trey Rodriguez for taking this episode seriously. Lydia Perner has done an excellent job producing and being a nuisance on the air. We'll be back next week, and we'll be back for the rest of the season because hockey is back. This has been a production of WFUV Sports. Stay safe. Watch some hockey, please. It's good for the soul.